Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard me say this before with regards to the Psalms, that we really resonate with the Psalms because, as I said earlier, this is where we live. This is our life. These are the things that we go through. What you find the psalmist dealing with are things we deal with as well. Though we don't want to admit it, we think that admitting it and confessing it and bringing that to others for a means or a situation of prayer is showing weakness. But that's not the case, beloved. We are all weak. And we are all weak spiritually. We're all weak physically. And we're getting weaker as we age. But we're all weak spiritually. And our strength is in the Lord. We are, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We are to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. We are to find strength in the Lord, not in us, not in what we do or who we are, but in what God has done for us in Jesus Christ and in who He is. That's where we find our strength. So I think when you come to the Psalms, you really begin to deal with the difficulties of life. Life in a fallen, sin-cursed world. The reality of it. In the last couple of years, I've really come to understand in a greater degree the reality of the Christian life. Now, I understand the suffering, the struggles, the difficulty. But it really comes home when you go through the difficult time spiritually. When you really struggle. It's one thing to be an observer looking through the glass and seeing someone else go through it. It's something altogether to be inside the glass as well going through it. And beloved, too often what we do is we mask it. We disguise it. We want to put that away as if that's not a reality in our life, that we're not hurting and struggling. We're all hurting. We're all hurting in some particular way that the Lord knows, and maybe you have not told anybody else, but the reality is we're all hurting in some way. And even as I mentioned with regards to our lives of contentment, we struggle with that. And if you're here thinking that you are not one who struggles with contentment, you're lying. You're just simply not being real as a Christian. Christianity does not mask that or disguise that. It brings that out as a reality. Here we have Asaph, who was a man who was petitioned by David and put in a position to be one of the singers, the chief singers, the lead singers. Within David's, what he had the singers that were in the temple. And here's a man who penned a number of the Psalms, who's a man who is discontent. He's discontent because he recognizes something that is going on with the ungodly. Now, Asaph says that God is good to Israel. He understands God's goodness, but at the same time, what he doesn't understand is that how God can give the rain and the sunshine to the unjust, to the wicked. That they can receive so many benefits at the hand of the Lord, and yet Asaph sees his life as a struggle. Why is it that I'm one who doesn't prosper, and they prosper in this life? Their heart is as fat as grease. They have everything, it seems, that their heart contented, that desires. Whatever they desire, they have. And yet, the basic things I don't have. I struggle. You know, beloved, if you're true and you're real and you're genuine, you're struggling with that as well. You struggle with an administration that is so ungodly. With an administration within the United States that is just tearing down the liberties that we have in this country. And you see it disintegrating before your very eyes. We live in a country that owes trillions of dollars, and yet we hear this every day. We've given 800 million more to Ukraine. We've given 400 million more to Ukraine. We've given $3 trillion to Ukraine. We've given this, and you're wondering, what about the people in our country that are suffering and struggling? Look at the border crisis that is going through, which they now call in Texas an invasion of the United States. There is nothing to keep people from other countries from entering our borders. And you see that, and you realize that, and you wonder what's going on. We don't take care of the people that are citizens. This administration takes care of everybody else. And it's a frustration. And you see the wickedness that goes on. You know for a fact that if I was Hunter Biden, boy, I'd be persecuted. I'd already be sitting in prison. But he gets away with it. And it goes on, and he keeps getting away with it. And they keep lying and denying, and nobody investigates. Nobody puts him on the carpet and says, but you said there's always spin doctors within this administration. And they prosper. And they have everything. I mean, do you think that our president knows what a gallon of gas is? I guarantee you he hasn't put gas in his vehicle. He doesn't even know what it costs for a gallon of milk. Because he has everything that the human heart desires. He has everything that fills his heart to make it as fat as grease. And it seems like the whole country is struggling, but not the one who sits in the White House, if he really is even in the White House. Now don't tell me, beloved, you don't struggle. Don't tell me that doesn't make you angry. I read recently that 70,000 independent truckers could be taken off the road immediately in California because of stipulations. That they want them to be under the control of somebody. Can't have an independent corporation, an operation. You work for yourself. What do you do with livelihoods? What do you think is going to happen within the United States if you take the truckers off the road? You groan about the truckers. Don't tell me you don't. Truckers groan about truckers. We've all been on the interstate. And yet they transport. All the goods and commerce is going from coast to coast by trucking. And if you shut that down, what's going to happen within our country? The wicked's heart is fat as grease. And it frustrates us. And Asaph, when he began viewing that, he began becoming preoccupied with the prosperity of the wicked within this world. You know what happens, beloved, when we get preoccupied with that. When the main things do not remain the main things, something else ushers in that is not the main thing, and it takes over as the main thing, and we're all distorted in our view of God and the world in which He has created. Asaph said they are not plagued like everybody else. Pride serves as their necklace. He goes on and he talks about the violence that covers them, and their eyes bulge with abundance. Their eyes bulging with abundance. They have so much. And it just keeps bulging more and more. You know, it's like eating, and you eat so much, your eyeballs start to come out. And yet food keeps coming, and they keep dining on more and more, and all the dainties of the earth. They have everything that the human heart desires. They have more, as Asaph says, than the heart could wish for. Now notice this. Asaph says, I've cleansed my heart, verse 13, in vain. You see, he's looking at things the wrong way. He's thinking it's all about having physical, material things. That's where life is. And isn't that what you're taught? Isn't that how you grow up? Isn't it why people come to America? You can be anything that you want. You can do anything that you want. You can have anything that you want in America. You can have an abundance. And so we equate with prosperity God's favor. So if I have much, then God must be looking on me with favor. That's how many of the ungodly are. They think that that's God's favor to them. They look at, they have somebody. God didn't favor me. Why do I have so much? That's the wrong view. God is fattening them up for the slaughter. You know, riches tend to make you at ease. It tends to make you get comfortable in your living. Not in holiness, not in godliness. but in the pleasures of life. And you begin to think to yourself and deceive yourself, saying, God is shining down on me. I've seen those things in movies before where pagans have said such comments. Is God shining on me or what? The guy is as ungodly as the day is long. And Asaph realizes something here as he gets a view from Scripture. And beloved, this is what we need. The corrective always is a view from Scripture. Now, we have discontent in our heart. We have sin that is still in our heart. It doesn't rule over us, but it remains there, and we struggle in our lives. We struggle with many different and difficult things in our life. If a child is taken at a young age, we are discontent and dissatisfied with God's will. And to say you're not is simply not being real. It's not being genuine. We hurt. We struggle. We suffer with God's will. And yet we know that God is in control. That He is the one ruling and reigning. And we know that He is working things together for His glory and for our good. We know the Scriptures speak that. And yet we don't see it. But we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We walk trusting. You all do that to some degree in a temporal sense. Let me explain. You go to the doctor and you have some kind of an illness, and he gives you pills that says, take these and they'll take care of your problem. You haven't seen it. You haven't seen that happen. You believe that in taking these pills, that it will bring healing to your body. And so you take the pills. But you haven't yet seen healing. That's walking by a sense of faith. That's how we are called. We might not see in this life. We might not see God working all things together. Sometimes God unfolds His providence in an extraordinary way. And you can see things. He unveils it. He lets you peek behind, as it were, the tapestry. And you can see the design that God is doing. And it's wondrous. It's marvelous. But when you look at the backside of it, you can't make heads or tails of it. But God is always doing a work. And beloved, that's what we must trust. And you know, my frustration with the airlines. And it is a frustration. A week before we flew to Florida, I had heard that the airlines canceled 25,000 flights in a week. I said, well, what's going to happen here? And sure enough, Saturday morning, my flight was canceled. And having to jog around, trying to get all that back in order to get home at a certain time and a different airlines, and it's frustrating. And yet the Lord has a purpose. And sometimes we want to say, if God only told me, then I wouldn't be frustrated. There are little children in here. And if I were to tell them some of the deep things of Scripture, they wouldn't have any understanding of what I'm saying. And some of even the things natural in life, they don't understand. They just simply do not understand it. So, beloved, thinking that you're going to understand something because God tells you that you're now going to understand it is wrong. God speaks to us and lisps to us in baby talk. And there are many things in this life that we don't understand. We walk by faith, trusting the Lord. That's the essence of faith. Faith believes the Word of God. Faith does not live by sight. It doesn't live by a nose count. It doesn't live by how many of the population believes this or does this. It believes the word of truth. That's what faith does. It believes the word, where the whole world could be against the teaching of Scripture. Faith believes the word, and it's a God-given faith. And you have that faith, beloved. You believe what God says in His word, no matter what the world may say. It's an amazing thing when it comes even to the church. It doesn't matter what you all think and say about me preaching the word. I believe this to be the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. The Holy Spirit has worked that in me. I can't believe other than that. You all could be against me in that. It wouldn't make any difference. You know what you're getting fed every Lord's Day. The Word. This is what we need. We need to see all things through the lens of Scripture. We need to walk by faith. Is it hard? Beloved, it's hard. It's difficult. And that's why we come to the Lord and we cast our burdens, our cares, our struggles, our difficulties upon Him. So that He would strengthen our faith, our resolve to believe and to walk after the truth. That's what Asaph had to do. And when we don't, we feel like fools, don't we? Now this is what he says. He saw and he experienced and he watched and he viewed and he struggled. And he said, you know, if I would have spoken a certain way, I'd have been untrue to the generation of the people of God. And when he thought about this, verse 16, when he thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Thinking about what we're going through as a church, as a congregation, or as the body of Christ universal. It's painful. It's painful for me as a pastor to view a congregation who knows what it means to go through a pandemic. Who knows what it means to have a place shut down to the degree that we can still worship. We didn't completely close down, but to know what it's like to sit at home and not be amongst one another. Generations before us have not experienced that. We were going through it in time. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to handle that. You didn't either. And it was frustrating. It was painful. And it's even more painful for me that when you were so desirous to come back together as a congregation, and I knew what was going to happen, we'd get right back to status quo. The old way of living. Blowing off a Sunday here, a Sunday there, running off, doing other things, worshiping of the Lord is not the top priority. I've got other things to do as well. Sunday is fun day. It's not the Lord's day. You know all that nonsense and rhetoric. And we of all people, in this time, this generation, ought to know how painful it was to be separated as the body of Christ, to not be involved as the church. It's painful. And Asaph says, until I went into the sanctuary of God. And we've got to remind ourselves of these things again and again and again. That God is ruling and reigning in the kingdom of men. This world did not come about by chance. It does not continue by chance. There is a God in the heavens, and He is ruling over all things for His glory and for the good of His people. And when you get a view from Scripture, and this is what it means, I went into the sanctuary of God. I got a view from the teaching of God's Word with regards to the ungodly of this world. That is how you judge righteous judgment. Jesus says, when you judge, use righteous judgment. That's viewing things, beloved, through the lens of Scripture. That do not fall into the nonsense of this world and saying, don't judge. You hear that all the time. You hear it in movies, TV shows. Oh, I don't judge. I don't judge. You just did. You judge all the time. You must judge. We continually judge. We're created to judge. You make distinctions. This is right. This is wrong. This is true. This is false. I like this. I don't like that. Those are judgments, beloved. And you're always making those judgments. Now, we're trying to be conditioned in this world not to make judgment. You know that when you see a feminine man, you know that's wrong. And when you know when you see a masculine woman, you know that there's just something wrong with seeing a woman do a bicep flex that's bigger than yours. That's something grotesque about that. But we're in a condition where they don't judge. Judge. Women are to be women. And men are to be men. The sad thing in the life of the church is we have a lot of invertebrates in the life of the church. You know what an invertebrate is? It's something that has no spine. We have a lot of spineless men in the life of the church. They don't worship with their families. They don't lead their family to worship. They don't read the scriptures. They don't pray. They don't have family worship. They do nothing of leadership that calls for a man. You want to know what a man is? Look to Jesus. Even Pilate, a pagan ruler, said, "Behold the man." You know what a man is? That's a man. A man who wept. A man who was strong. A man who cared. A man who provided. A man who was one who was a shepherd. One who protected. One who provided nourishment. Spiritually, physically. He cared. He was involved. That's a man. It's not that guy on the Marlboro thing, on the sign and the billboard when you drive by. That's not a man. It's not the macho guy on TV. Everybody, ooh and ah. That's not the man. The man is the one who cares, who loves, who provides, who diligently does what the Lord calls him to. We don't have very many of those in the life of the church. We've got to understand things through the lens of Scripture. He went into the sanctuary and then he understood their end. He understood why God has designed the wicked. Even the wicked was designed for the day of doom. The plowing of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The giving of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The prayers of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. God has set them in slippery slopes. He is surely going to bring them down. Look at Pharaoh in Egypt. Look at how he chased after Moses and the children of Israel. That man back in Egypt had everything that the eyes could desire. He grabbed after everything. And him and his whole army were drowned in the Red Sea. God prepared him for the day of doom. And the Lord has the right to do as he pleases with his. And all the souls are his. All creation belongs to him. He has created everything. He is the one who owns everything. He is the one who orchestrates all things for his glory. He has a right by ownership, beloved. And sinful, fallen, unregenerate, ignorant man says, God does not have a right to do that. He has a right. And he will do all of his pleasure. Look at it through the lens of Scripture. You set them in slippery places. You know what a slippery place is? You've ever climbed up on a rock that had some kind of moss growing on it, and all of a sudden you can feel both your hands and your feet start to slide off? Well, you're okay until you get to a certain point. God has set them on that point where they have no stability, because the stability is found in the rock, Christ Jesus. Beloved, if you have not Jesus, you have no stability in life. Some of you young people who are not truly believing on Jesus Christ, you have no stability. You're a slippery mess. You don't know how to live your life. You don't know in what direction to go. You have no counsel. You have no guidance. You have no direction. You don't know how to live. You're on slippery places. The only firm foundation is Christ. God cast them down to destruction. You find that throughout all of the scriptures. The Israelites were the people of God, and all the other nations were cast down. God cast down the Egyptians. God cast down the Syrians. God cast down the Assyrians. God cast down the Moabites, the Edomites, all of the Enies and the Ites. God cast them down, and he has the right to do so. Oh, how you have brought them to desolation in a moment, and they are utterly consumed with terrors. I was reading a book on musicians, and the musicians, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, the 27 Club, these that had died at 27 years old, Jim Morrison and the Doors, and what their life was like. I don't know what it's like to be 24, 25 years old and have millions of dollars and to be able to do anything that you want to do. John Lennon, I mean, he distanced himself from the Beatles, walked away, dabbled in everything, never worked really a day in his life. He had millions and millions until the day he died. And these are all people that say that their life is miserable. Kurt Cobain killed himself at 27 years old. I think there are like seven of them that they call the 27 Club. In a personal letter that John Lennon had written to a pastor, he makes that comment. He says, "I have no peace." And the scripture says, "There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. There is no peace apart from the Prince of Peace." The wicked are tearing back and forth, up and down throughout the earth, and they can't see what makes them frightful, and they don't know how they can have contentment in this life. Contentment comes as Christ takes up residence in the soul. They are utterly consumed in their terrors. The terrors, they've had them. I know what it means to be an unbeliever. I was one at one point. I know what terrors are. I know the impending terror of, I'm going to die. And I'm going to meet my Maker. And you know what? We're not on speaking terms. Because I have not come the way of the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Mediator, Jesus. They have terror. As one dreams and one awakes, you know those dreams. I'm falling and you continue to keep on falling. You don't ever see yourself splat on the pavement, but you see yourself falling in the fear, the fright. Have you ever been in a jet airplane and the guy lowers like just a little bit? It feels like your stomach is in your throat. That's terror. Been on a terrifying ride at Magic Mountain. You come up and you come down, and next thing you know, you're just... you got terror. Have you ever been so afraid that you're just shaking in your boots? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, his knees were knocking. He was so terrified. That's how the unbelievers are. As one awakes in a dream, and so, Lord, you awake, you shall despise their image. A broken, shattered image apart from Jesus Christ, a rebel, a God-hater. God is going to despise that image. And he's going to demonstrate that despising of the image by casting it to hell forever. All of this, beloved, is bringing us back to the teaching of God's Word. You have got to view all things through the lens of Scripture. The people of God are from every tribe, tongue, and nation of the world. The people of God are not Americans. You understand that? The people of God is not the tribe of America. There are many Christians within this country. But we are not God's chosen people. We are not the people of God because we live in the United States. We have people of God that live here in this country. The body of Christ is universal, spread throughout all this world. We thank God and we give thanks and praise for the benefits, for the blessings that He has provided for this country. But look at how we squander them. Do we give God thanks? We have a country that wants the benefits, but not the benefactor. Not the one who gives. We want the gifts, we don't want the giver. And that's what the country does. God is going to despise that image. And so Asaph says, my heart was grieved. My heart's been grieved with those things as well. And yours has as well. Your mind was vexed. The torment, the struggle, the difficulty of what is the Lord doing in my life. Job went through that. He went through the vexation of the mind. He struggled. What is God doing in my life? Why am I going through such problems and difficulty and turmoil? And he begins to look and to rehearse. Have I done this? Have I done that? He's associating pain and struggle with sinfulness. And that's not the case. We find that out in the book of Job. God has the right to do with us as He pleases. God could kill me today, and He has the right to do so. We've got to look at it, beloved, through the lens of Scripture. Are you looking at your life through the lens of Scripture? What is your life all about? Why are you here? Why are you still breathing? Is it about playtime? Is it about pleasing yourself? Is it about seeking all the pleasures of earth? Solomon was like that. Solomon had everything that a man could desire. And he said it was grasping after the wind. It was chasing after this vanity of vanities. Because once you grab a hold of it, there's always something more. And it's interesting. I love to hear the lyrics of those pagan fortune and fame people that speak about that, of grasping. And once they get there, they say, is that all there is? This is it? There's no contentment. Satisfaction is only found in the Lord. I was so foolish and I was so ignorant, Asaph says. Why? Because he didn't see things through the lens of Scripture. If you're going to go along in your Christian life and you're going to try to view things in a natural view, you are going to show yourself a fool continually. The Word of God is true, it's right, it's sure. It's pure, it's holy, it's just. What God says will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass, but the Word of God endures forever. You, beloved, have got to look at all things through the lens of God's Word. You have got to cry out to Him for understanding. Because wisdom is of the Lord, understanding is of the Lord. And even as Proverbs 4 teaches us, in all of our getting, we are to get wisdom, we are to get understanding. That comes through the lens of Scripture. You must view all things through Scripture. If you do not, you will be right here where Asaph is. Notice how this is an example to us. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10 and in Romans 15 that the things that were written before were written for our learning and for our understanding. Let's learn from this. If you view things from a natural perspective, from your own understanding, apart from the Word, you are going to look like a fool and behave like a fool and be embarrassed like a fool and come to the Lord and confess your foolishness. That's the example given to us with Asaph here. But he has comfort. He says in verse 22, I was foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. I can tell you that every time in my life that I have viewed things or thought things apart from the teaching of God's Word, I was just like this, foolish and ignorant and like a beast before the Lord. You know what a beast is? A beast is an animal that has no rationality. It has no reason. It doesn't have a mind, a rational soul as we do. It has a soul, it's an irrational soul. We have rational souls. We can reason. We have logic. Animals don't have logic. Animals don't reason in that way. They don't reason from point A to point B. They live by instincts. We don't. We live by reason, by understanding. And so when we don't reason through the Scriptures, as Isaiah said, come, let us reason together. Let us work through the Scriptures. Let us view all things from the perspective of Scripture. When you don't, and I've been there, you act like a beast. A beast runs after the natural things. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? What's going to be pleasing to me? What is my pleasure? That's how beasts behave. And beloved, when we look at life in this fallen world in that way, that's how we behave. And yet, here we are as the people of God saying that we believe that Almighty God upholds all things in heaven and on earth, and nothing comes to pass by chance, but all things happen by His fatherly will. Inconsistency. That's the Christian life, isn't it? The more I go on as a Christian, the more inconsistencies I see in my life. The more I go on, the more I realize I have absolutely no hope of heaven apart from Jesus. I have not worked my way into heaven. I have not done anything deserving of the goodness and the grace of God. It's Christ or it's nothing. And that is what we need to see through the lens of Scripture. God is always with us. Even though I act stupid, I act like a fool many times. Many times I'm like this beast. Many times I behave just like Asaph. And so do you. And yet notice, God is continually with us. The grace and the mercy of God who never leaves us and never forsakes us. Doesn't that just humble you? That I don't know how many times that I've acted foolish and ignorant and like a beast before the Lord. And He doesn't depart from me. He doesn't depart from his people. He upholds me with his right hand. You're going to fall down, but I'm going to pick you up. And you're going to fall again, and I'm going to pick you up again. And you're going to learn to trust me so you don't fall down again. That's the Christian life, isn't it? It's a series of trusting, of believing, of hoping, of falling, of being picked up by the Lord again, of hoping, of believing, of trusting, of seeing, and then falling again. And then on we go. And the Holy Spirit strengthens us at each motion, at each turn, to keep on looking unto Jesus and having the hope that when I fall flat on my face, that my Savior is right there with me. He is with me continually. Beloved, that's my only hope. I got nothing else for you but Jesus. But you also realize when you have him, you have everything that is necessary to salvation. Praise God that even though we often act like beasts, we often act foolish and ignorant, that he doesn't depart from us as his people. He is with us even until the end. Amen. Shall we pray?